Everyone. Welcome today to our Palm Sunday morning service. We're thankful that you're here. We do have our ushers in the corners with their microphones. If you'd like to lift up a prayer request or a moment of joy you'd like us to celebrate and join with you today and do that, just go ahead and put your hand in the air if you have anything to share.
I'll start. March is not only March Madness, but it's also National Reading Month.
All right.
And I've enjoyed, the blessing was I've been in several of the schools reading to the elementary classes, and really, really enjoyable, heartfelt. What is my concern is, though, is how some of our young people are not able to read. Mm. And I really think that it's up to us to spend more time with them, get them involved, get them reading, and really get them going, because that's our future, and we just got to put the time in. So say a prayer, let's get involved next year, volunteer, get into schools and read. Thank you.
Great. Yes, Gary, thank you for sharing that with us. It's increasing in those moments where when we are used to a point and click on our information technology, whether it's our phone, tablet, or computer, we push it and it talks to us and entertains us, but we do need to value how much reading can bring us to new informations. Anything else?
I just, last Sunday, we had the pleasure of hearing the bells, and it's a lot of women and one young man, Gage Larson. He was in an accident Thursday night, rolled his vehicle, he nodded off. He's okay, but he's very shaken up, and we just need to continue to keep him and his family in our prayers.
For Gage, yes. All right.
I want to thank everybody for their prayers, and I've had a lot of testing done, and everything is going to come out okay, I think.
Thank All right, you. Bruce. Yeah, thank you. Great. All right. Anyone else? Anyone else have anything that they'd like to lift up? Just maybe a general for our community, whether it's not only in our own zip code and extending, but also for the community of faith, the Big C Church. This is a week that we'll see a lot of different activities and services, and it'll take us on a journey. So whether it's us here or just, like I said, the larger church, what a week to celebrate being a disciple of Christ. So just prayers for that week and everyone who is going to be journeying to and from services and those who will be leading those services. Anything else? No? Okay. Do we have any announcements that aren't printed in the bulletin? Linda, you have something? Well, we're waiting, Linda, for you to get the microphone. Looks like about equal distance between. Just a quick reminder, because we have so many things going on this week, just want to draw your attention to the Holy Week service schedule that's there. And also, as part of our fellowship gathering for Maundy Thursday, we are being called upon to assist the soup and bread dinner. If we can have any rolls or bread you would like to help for that dinner, please bring that over to the office or just bring it with you when you come to the Maundy Thursday service.
Our next birthday potluck will be on April 8th, and Dawn Cubitt from the 911 coordinator will join us. She's going to speak on the Smart 911 program. This is a program you can sign up for to create a secure safety profile for your household. This will provide life-saving information directly to 911 and first responders in case of an emergency. So we urge everybody to come that Sunday. I don't know if Gary has anything he wants to add to that about that program.
Good, good. Well, we can never be too prepared for the unprepared or unexpected when it comes up. So we're thankful for that. Thank you for Linda for letting us know that changes to the 8th and what to expect when we come there. So anything else? Anything back here? Okay. Any birthdays we're celebrating this week?
Barbara Clark is going to be 29 one more time.
All right. Happy birthday / anniversary to Barb Clark. Yeah.
Aiden turned
6 last Saturday, Will Saturday. All right. Fantastic. You're 6 years old? Wow. Can you stand up and let us see how big you are for almost 6 years old? There it is. We got a little bit more height than chest, didn't we? Anybody else celebrating this week?
I believe it's Bob Stashek's birthday.
Is it Bob Stashek's birthday? All right. Well, we can also include him in that song, but then when we reach out, we'll let him know that we sung Happy Birthday and he was part of that. Anybody else? Sing Happy Birthday. Birthday to you. All right, and Barb has kind of a mix, so do we have anybody else joining an anniversary this week? Anybody anniversary this week? Nope, that was just kidding around for the birthday anniversary. So, okay, well, let's go ahead and hand things over to our choir as they begin to prepare us for a place of worship. Join me in a moment for prayer for asking the Lord's blessing on our gathering together today. Almighty God, we lift up to you this time we've put aside to worship you, Lord, and to praise you, that you would be with us in this place, and not only meet us here that we know for sure, Lord, but to continue to walk with us boldly out into this world. Lord, to be your hands and feet and the reflection of Jesus to ourselves and to this world. Lord, in this week, guide our steps and lead us to where you would like us to be. And Lord, allow us to receive anew the Savior in our lives. Lord, we ask these things in the Messiah's name, Jesus. Amen. All right, I would ask you to please stand if you're able, and we'll sing this great song of our faith leading us into Holy Week. 364, Because He Lives. Number 364, Because He Lives. ask that we find in our seats. We'll sing together through twice. Number 174 is Making Your Point. And as we move on, we'd just like to give a moment of praise and thanks to Joan for helping us out again today for worship. And we'll hand things over to Porchelle.
Hi, I'm Porchelle. I do the senior high, junior high Sunday school. This is Devin and Ryan. They're in our Sunday school classes. We do our class starts at seventh grade, and we go up to senior year until they graduate. So we just wanted to do a little children's message with the kids this morning, and then we're going to hand it off to the boys for readings for Palm Sunday. Mm-hmm. So pass it along. We need more members, and the more the merrier. We can get out and do fun stuff, and we go to the movies, we go to Big Boy for breakfast, and get together. There's always food provided. All right, so we can do children's time.
Do you want to have the children come up then so they can get a good seat to see everybody? So if you guys want to go ahead and gather up there in the front couple of pews, so you can see the boys, that would be great. Come on up, and Miss Porchelle, if you want to show them where you want them to sit so they can see, it would be great. Would you like them to have a mic?
I can't even get my own kid to come up for children's time when I'm up here. Okay, so who knows what next Sunday is? Do you guys know? What does Easter Sunday mean? Go ahead, Aubrey.
So we can celebrate Jesus?
Yes, absolutely, we celebrate Jesus. So what happens Sunday morning when we wake up? Do we know? No, we don't have eggs and family. And
oh, yeah. We look for eggs?
We look for eggs, yep. Okay, so basically Easter Sunday, right, is the resurrection. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? Because 3 days beforehand, he died for us. Why did he die? Do we know?
He died for sins.
Yes, he did. He died for our sins, so that way all of us can be forgiven. Right? Pastor Matt's much better at this, isn't he? He can get you guys into it. You guys are chatty Cathys. Okay, so I'm going to have you turn around. That way we can see Mr. Ryan and Mr. Devin, and they're going to do a couple readings for us to explain to us back then what people experienced when Jesus Christ was resurrected, okay?
Early on, the first, Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the linen lying there. The other disciple went inside the tomb, and he saw and believed. The disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she saw two angels in white. They asked her why she was crying. She said, "They have taken my Lord away." She turned around and saw Jesus standing there. She did not know it was him at first until he called her by name. Jesus said to Mary, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God."
On the evening of that Sunday, when the disciples were together, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and sides. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord again. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive, they are not forgiven." And Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. He shook his head in disbelief and said, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my hands on into his side, I will not believe." A week later, all his disciples were in the house again, and though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them, speaking directly to Thomas. Jesus stated, "Put your fingers here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and touch my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas believed. Jesus told Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples. This is written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Good job. Thank you for doing that. Okay, so we're going to say a little prayer, and then we're going to listen to another fun thing from the boys before you guys go to Sunday school. Okay, so let's bow our heads. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for our sins, and coming back to save us and be with us always. In your name we pray. Amen.
As the kids are lining up to go down, we're thankful for, how long have you been leading the senior high, Ms. Porchell?
3 years.
And we've seen a lot of growth and things from not only you, but those that are joining there. If any of you have had an opportunity to talk to Ms. Porchell as the kids are being dismissed, she would really love anybody that can come, but especially a girl, because you get a little overwhelmed with the point of view sometimes, don't we, over there? You got so many boys all the time. So we're... Yeah. So we're thankful for that and look forward to the one Rolling Stone being available next Sunday. Our tradition for this season of our Lent journey together, we do have the Apostles' Creed that we have been stating out together, because there's something powerful about not just reading, but similar to reading with our minds and our own voices, but saying out loud the declaration of what we believe. So let us join together and say the Apostles' Creed together as a church, as one body and one voice.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born under the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Also, we come to this moment when we look at practice patterns and positions. One of the things we can do individually that is so powerful, one thing that we can do corporately when we gather together that carries with it so much power, not because of the words that we use, articulation, how long we go on, but it's the power in prayer in Jesus' name. And of course, with something so powerful and such a privilege to be able to share and call upon at any moment our Savior, our God. So often the disciples were curious. In Scripture, we see this detailed for us. How would we be able to celebrate properly? How would we be able to bring the right type of prayer that God would hear each and every time? And the disciples called out to Jesus and said, "Teacher, Master, how is it that we should pray?" Jesus responded, and it has become known as the Lord's Prayer, as it inspired by Jesus' own reply to that question of their hearts and ours. How do we pray and so it would cover our needs? Could we say together as one body and one voice the Lord's Prayer?
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
We're thankful for that message that reminds us it was quite a triumphant arrival for Jesus and the disciples traveling to Jerusalem. So we're thankful for that reminder that it was a victorious entry into Jerusalem. As the choir finds their way back in the sanctuary, we're thankful for their gifts and look forward to the opportunity to hear them again. We've been walking through a scenario, a series, if you will, of different covenants. And as we bring ourselves to Palm Sunday today, we celebrate not only our tradition, that is the arrival of Christ to Jerusalem, but also in this moment of what's expected, what we think, what we hope, and sometimes what God does amongst those hopes, those understandings, and those expectations. I think most of us, as I look around, have been here more than a few Sundays, and so when we're looking at that, how many of you would agree it's very easy to come to the understanding and have firsthand wisdom that no matter what we might think, God does what God's going to do in God's time, however God sees fit. Would you agree that sometimes we don't get consulted with how those things are going to pan out, even if we best try to forecast it? And so in this moment, I think I might hit this. Do we need this for any? Is it okay? Okay, it's all okay. So in this moment, when we're thinking about unexpected things, we're looking at this last part of the Gospel according to Mark, which is the succinct, the what do you need to know, first recommending if you're ever going through the New Testament, don't know where to start. Start with Mark. It gets to the points and lets you know with no spared words the Gospel account. And so when we're looking at this, it's important because Mark gives us things that are important today because it is the shortest gospel account. So what are the things in here that we need to know? Part of this understanding is before we get here, in the years past we've talked about, some of you have the larger study Bibles, right, that include some other books in there that aren't necessarily canon on here, but some historical background. Well, there's a book called the Maccabees that talks a lot about a Jewish uprising and sort of a militant heroics and kind of a rebellion, if you will, in that type of language. A lot of things in there, and I would encourage you to take a look at that because it just enriches some of our understanding of certain times in history. But when it comes to this moment, this entry into Jerusalem, so many people were feeling that Jesus was coming to conquer with a mighty fist and topple the Roman Empire by might. Because so often when we look at Old Testament scripture, don't we often see that there was a battle to fight, right? And that God was the standard bearer that was there, and God would show his might through the forces there, and it would come down, right? And there's a lot of bloodshed in the Old Testament. So again, I would submit to you, wouldn't it be something that we would draw a conclusion to that we would expect as well from a militant force who's kind of taking over this whole area, this mighty force of Rome? The only way you're going to unseat Rome for this power would be to shed a little bit of blood. All right, so we see that kind of a proof in the Old Testament, and it would probably stand to a lot of reasons why people were expecting this. But this is that moment where, again, for those of us that know what's happening, are familiar with that, and those of us that might get an idea today, this is just another one of those moments when God's going to do what God wants to do in God's time and God's way. A little unexpected to what we thought when all the chess pieces, if you will, were in place and we thought things were going to go a certain way. Let us take a look at Mark's Gospel account, chapter 11, the first 11 verses. Mark 11, verses 1 through 11. As they, being disciples, including Jesus, approached Jerusalem and came near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them this, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter, you will find a colt tied there, one which has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here to me. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell them, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" Verse 4. They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. And as they untied it, verse 5 tells us some people standing there did in fact ask, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered just as Jesus had told them, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus, they then threw their cloaks over it, and then Jesus sat upon it. Verse 8 says, many people then began to spread their cloaks on the road before Jesus, while others then would spread their branches as they cut in the fields. And those who went ahead of the great celebration and those who followed from the beginning to end shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. And finally, verse 11 says, Jesus entered Jerusalem and then went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Because this is not many of our first times or seasons here, and if it is, or if you're listening on the radio and it is your first time, I don't want to assume, but it's one of those moments when now in our Advent season are familiar and the great stories that we have to share, but we always have to make sure that even if we're familiar with some of these things, we don't miss some of the powerful truths and inspirations that come here. And there's this moment where some translations will remind you that here, colt is not necessarily a young horse, it's the young offspring, a child, an infant of a donkey. And so sometimes different translations will make that clear, but I wanted us to see that because it's going to be very important that Jesus arrives on a young donkey. And so it's important here, why is that included in Mark's gospel account? Well, it's important because Jesus says to the disciples when he's pausing there at the Mount of Olives, go ahead and go into the village. You will find a colt there, right? You will find one there and untie it. And if anyone asks you what you're doing, and here's that moment where I think to myself, this was kind of in the midst of my time, so I don't know if some of you will remember this mode of transportation, or some of you might be completely unaware, but there was a time when people rode bikes because there wasn't always automobiles everywhere. So you're familiar of a lot of places, whether it was the public library, or even churches maybe, or schools, they had a bike rack, okay? And so you would park your bike in one of those slots, and you'd chain it up sometimes if you had a really special one, you didn't want anybody to take it. And so what do you think would happen if you all knew that I had the bright, shiny, red, sparkly bike, and I parked it in front of my house every day, and then you saw someone who clearly didn't own that bike coming by and unchaining my bike, right? You might say, what are you doing there, right? Or, for instance, and the best example I can say is that Linda Schramm has a very recognizable car. Would you agree that we go anywhere in town, she has a recognizable car? So I think a few people might suggest if I walked up to her car and got into it, they might be, what are you doing with what's clearly Linda's car, right? And so there's that moment we recognize that people don't just let them have it. They ask, what are you guys doing here? And it's important because in this moment, I would also submit to you, what happens if, Linda, you were at the store and I was trying to get into your car and somebody said, Pastor Matt, why are you getting in her car? Why are you taking your car? And I said, because Jesus told me to, and I'll bring it back shortly. Would that be enough? I think it would, right? We could all see if we just go ahead and let us take it, and everybody would be fine. No phone calls to Linda. It would be great. But here's that moment while we laugh a little bit about that. But, you know, humankind was the same, weren't we? Weren't we just a little panicked sometimes, and we were a little frustrated by what might happen? Do you agree that there was a lot of uncertainty? And remember, this was the capital, and everybody was coming. So don't you think everybody in the marketplace kind of had their eye on whose property was what, and people were watching out for folks? And so here's that moment when I think God's going to do what God wants to do in God's time, in God's way. Because while it might not work for me, getting in Linda's car, giving you that expression, but it did for them. They said that Jesus, we just said his name is wonderful, right? There's power in that name. Jesus said, use my name. Don't just say you need it for something important. Say, the Lord needs it. And the people let them take it. Because God will do what God needs to do in God's time, in God's way. It's important, though, to understand why was it necessary, because I think in these moments, too, if we wanted to make a grand entrance, like, for instance, when we have our parades, right, our Heritage Days, our Thumb Festival and things like that, and our 4-H parade, when we have those parades, isn't it common to see those that would be honored as Citizen of the Year or the county positions, sometimes our celebrated royalty, kings and queens? Isn't it always proper for us to show them their due by letting them ride a donkey uptown? Right? We do, don't we? We have a donkey that comes uptown and celebrates them their high honor in this place so all would see. No, usually it's a car that someone drives real slow, and it's polished up real nice. It's sort of the best of what we can offer or something that's celebrated. So in this moment, it's important because there are customs we need to understand with this offspring of a donkey, this young donkey, this colt. Because in Zechariah, it's a prophetic book, and I just wanted to share with you this verse from here. It's very important. Prophetic books, again, were expressing the desires in the future to come according to God putting on these people's hearts. And so this prophet here said in chapter 9, verse 9, Zechariah says this, "This will be the coming of the king. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion." Listen carefully. "Shout, daughters of Jerusalem." Now, they did shout here when Jesus came, right? They shouted, "Hosanna in the highest." They were shouting throughout the streets. It says in here in prophetic words before this came to pass, "Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey." Not just a donkey, but on a colt. An offspring of a donkey. Don't you think it was important, Jesus' mode of transportation here, because Jesus was fulfilling the prophet's account of, "You will recognize the king to save you," because he will do just this. It's interesting in this moment as well, because when we see in the gospel accounts, why are the disciples and Jesus pausing in the Mount of Olives? It's not that far away from where they're trying to get. And it even says later on in the scripture, doesn't it, that Jesus arrived and he got to the temple and it was late. Do you think Jesus knew what time it was? Do you think if they didn't pause at the Mount of Olives, they might have got there in time for him to do something else besides kind of show up, take a look around, and go back the way he came? Seems like a lot of fanfare, right? People are following him into the city, and we're following these troves of people, right? And I guess imagine from this way, you know, that we're arriving this way, and just from point of view perspective, this is Jesus and the disciples are founding them. They come into the temple, this grand celebration for him coming in. People are checking out what's going on. He takes a look around, and then he leaves. Right? You ever seen Forrest Gump? "Well, I think we're going to stop running now," and everybody's just left with, "Well, what's happening? We literally just celebrated, had like a small celebration parade for you coming in. There's stuff all throughout the streets, and you left?" But it's important here because, again, the prophetic book of Zechariah reminds us in chapter 14, verses 4, it says this, "On that day, Jesus, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a great valley, with half the mountain moving north, and the other half moving south." God will do what God wants to do in God's time and God's way. In all these moments when it can seem, why did this happen? Jesus needed to be in this place and pause for the prophetic scriptures to be revealed in God's time and God's way. To some of us, it might seem, well, what would Jesus have done if the hour wasn't late with all those people there? What could have happened if Jesus would have sped things up? And I wonder how many of those in our lives, and I'm just going to particularly call out my spouse here, when we're in a hurry and they're not in a hurry, she likes to use this scripture of that Jesus arrived exactly when Jesus was supposed to arrive, no matter the prodding of the disciples. And I thought, so if you're running late a little bit, maybe you want to remember this story and take a little moment to have some exposition of Scripture with those who are prodding you on. Now, God will do what God wants to do in God's time and God's way. Jesus paused there, not because there would be another miracle of multiplying fish for a meal, not because there would be another healing. As a matter of fact, would you agree if there was something tremendously significant that the gospel accounts would make sure that we knew this? Jesus paused to fulfill the prophesied words that you will know I am the one that came to save you because on this day I paused. And though you were expecting me to do something grand on this day, I was doing my work for God, the Father. Not what man wants me to do or expects me to do. And this is important because when we look at what God wants to do in God's time and God's way using the people that God will, it's interesting when we see this moment because, again, remembering this is a triumphant moment there, and God, that anthem was just fantastic to remind us. It was just a great celebration, right? Could you just visualize why it's important that we're here today, why we prepare ourselves? But don't we also know this week that's coming up, we're going to take kind of a roller coaster ride, aren't we? It's going to turn in from this grand celebration to kind of a hiding and panicking and arrest and violence and midnight trials and a brutal death. And of course, we'll celebrate next time we're gathered together the resurrection, the good news at the end. But we're going to take a little bit of a journey this week, just as Jesus arrived here to that great fanfare. But it didn't last long. It didn't last long at all. Many of us might be able to even recognize that, or wouldn't you agree that it seems like the good times don't necessarily last as long as the not so good times? Would you agree? Or at least time flies by. It seems like when things aren't going so well, it goes by very, very slowly. A little bit of culture in this moment, that it begins this moment where we see again that Jesus is coming for a different reason as a conqueror, not one that's physically prowess, shows power and militant strategy like a general they were expecting. So it comes in this moment when kings would come and they would arrive, they would make sense that they would have this huge, muscular, powerful horse that belongs in a commercial, right? And that's how you'd have the armor and the standard and things like that. So when we look at this, why wouldn't Jesus find something a little bit quicker or a little bit studlier, right? Studlier to arrive to Jerusalem for this final celebration? But in this moment, it's very important for us to historically understand that even though Jesus was coming to do battle, God was using Jesus to fight battle a different way. Not with militant strength, but Jesus came as the Prince of Peace. He was literally going to love us to death. Now understand what I said. I didn't mean there, us, but take that in a different context. He was going to love us to his death. Because Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, not a triumphant charging horse, because Jesus was not coming to wage war as the kings of that day would ride in. Jesus came to negotiate a peace, a treaty that would cover our sins and our missteps and would pay the penalty for those things. That peace, that bargain, that treaty was so important. And in those days, my friends, when kings came, whether they were the big brother in the treaty, whether they were the little brother, or whether they were on even footing, any monarch that came to a settlement or a city, or a land, and came to treat, would arrive, either singly or dually, on the back of a donkey. Yet people didn't see it, because there were expectations of what they wanted Jesus to be and to do, even going as far as Judas maybe giving him a little bit of a push in a direction that he thought he should go. But God's going to do what God wants to do in God's time and God's way. This season, are we preparing ourselves to shout Hosanna? Not Hosanna for the sake of saying, but Hosanna in the highest. The celebration of saving us, save us now. Would you agree that we need more saving today than we did yesterday, right? Because we are full of more missteps today than we did yesterday. It's literally the opportunity to be more humankind. Would you agree that in our souls we should be saying and shouting, save us now, save us immediately, more so than we might have even 10 years ago? The world around us certainly looks a little bit different. What it means to be a Christian shouldn't look different, but it seems like there's a bit of a different pair of glasses that we are looked upon these days. Would our soul shout out Hosanna in the highest to save us urgently, to save us now? Jesus came and conquered, and we know that as resurrection people. The great fanfare brought him there as a great fanfare was celebrated when Jesus rose from the grave. But in this moment, the time is short. It's simply a week, simply these few days. And it's in this moment when I would invite us to think, there are certain traditions and celebrations that we have that we walk upon Holy Week. They're outlined in our bulletin. There might be family traditions that come up and celebrate around the table. Everyone knows what meal we're going to have on Easter and how things are going to happen and who's going to do what. There are assignments and job. There are expectations. But I would like to encourage you that there's nothing wrong with traditions and expectations. But are we leaving room for God to do through us, around us, before us and after us, what God wants to do in God's time, in God's way? Would we allow those traditions to celebrate what Jesus has meant in our past, what Jesus is still faithful for today, and what surely Jesus will do in the coming days for us, covered in the grace of Jesus? We celebrate all of our holidays, our holy days, and it seems like we bring around the same things that we have celebrated in our Christian tradition, Palm Sunday. When this time comes, if things were unexpected, let me ask you this, with these palm branches, if you were to have put them down and laid them, well, here again, so everybody can see. If we laid our palm branches down, our offering in front of Jesus, to go on before us, right? Whether we went ahead and there and placed them there expecting Jesus to come, and then Jesus did something that we didn't expect. We literally paved the way to the temple. Lord, teach us. Master, come upon us. Preach to us. Reveal the truths of God's love to us. What will you do next? And as we all came expectantly waiting, it's a season where it feels like maybe things aren't quite moving the way we'd hoped they would. And to us, it looks like Jesus just looked around the temple and left. My dear friends, God will do what God wants to do in God's time, in God's way. And though it might not work out for us, could we agree when we look back, even if we can't explain why, do we have enough trust and faith that the same Christ who carried our cross would love us enough that we would trust him with those days of pause, those days of slow, those times when it might not be easy to celebrate our faith, or that we might have a hard time encouraging someone else because we might not have something we see is valuable to share? I call you to those times because Easter is our reason to celebrate. But when we look at what Jesus went through that entire week, if we are living in those days, it might be difficult to celebrate. But we are post-resurrection people. We live with that truth. We know what's going to happen. And I would wait for all of us, challenge us all, every day, but especially this week. This is our week when the world is watching. What will be more important? Explaining how a rabbit lays eggs, or that we gather for something greater than that? Because we still might struggle with what exactly happened on the cross. What does it mean, everlasting life? What do we want to take the time as Christians to explain? The mystery of the tomb and everlasting life? Or where the eggs came from. I'd invite us, when we think about these moments and we pray over ourselves, that we're going to read together Wesley's covenant prayer. Again, for this series, it's a covenant, it's a promise. It reminds us that we've been saying this week over and week over, that wherever we need to be, this literally brings to us, doesn't it, the reflection, if we're familiar with this every week, God will do what God wants to do in God's time and God's way. Whatever we need to do, if we need to be at the forefront of what God's doing, or we need to take a pause to what God's doing, if we need to take a moment and take a breath, or we need to be raised up or brought low, however, that we would be what God needs us to be for this time that God's using us, whatever that means. This is about surrender to one who loves us enough to take our place and inherit the wages of death. Could we say these words together as one body and one voice?
I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Grant me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee, or laid aside for thee. Exalted for thee, or brought low for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have
as so often as a holy response for us, I'll ask our ushers to come forward as we continue to take of the tithes and offerings that we have to come forward. They're not promissory note, but a response of what God has already done in our lives as we give back our first fruits, our tithes, to the Lord. Lord, we have laid the branches on your altar, expecting your arrival. Lord, would you reveal yourself anew and fresh to us, Lord, so that we can go out into this world and proclaim the good news, the greatest story ever told, and that we would profess the matchless name of your Son, Jesus, upon our lips. Lord, bless these gifts in the houses from which they came, that they would see lives change and they would meet the ends that you have put before us. In Christ's powerful name we pray, amen. Could we sing together this song and answer the question, who else can do what Jesus has done? Who else can pardon our sins and wash us clean? This question to be answered, number 362, nothing but the blood. What else can wash away my sin?
What can wash away?
for this. We just sang together number 362, Nothing But the Blood. And it answers a lot of questions, a lot of things that we have, a lot of wondering, are we replacing anything in our world with what the blood of Jesus can do? And before we move on in this moment, it says, this is all my hope and peace. I wouldn't get a chance to look at every single one of you, so I can't say this for certain, but I think all of us said these words. It is my hope and my peace. This is what gives me hope that can't be extinguished. This is what gives me peace that nothing of this world can ever take away. I have this never-ending hope and peace because of the blood of Jesus. Nothing can replace it, and it is so precious that we would be stained by it. This week, it's so important for us to observe, to feel, to pray, to experience the flow of Christ's blood in our lives, the heavy cost it was for the one without sin, and yet willingly every moment, every betrayal, every pain, every hurt, Jesus never did call upon that legion of angels to relieve him, though he just needs to speak it. Because there was only one thing, one drop of love that could sustain us, that would ever make us whole again. And that was the spotless blood of Jesus upon us. My dear friends, in this very real moment, preparing for this message, knowing it was coming up, there was a bit of a wrestling because it's so difficult to celebrate the arrival of Jesus knowing how much Jesus was going to suffer. On this day, we celebrate that because all these things are true and fulfillment is here, but it's hard not to understand that Maundy Thursday is going to come when stillness and quietness comes over us. Isn't it? It's hard to know that this week, before we can get to Easter, we have to come together and recognize that the penalty of sin is death. And Jesus did pay that heavy price, a very real death for us, taking our place. But I have to have this moment for us that's genuine, I think, because as we've come through and know that in an itinerant system in the United Methodist Church, usually you would move on, you would have different times, and say we would welcome and we would say goodbye, and tenures would be up. In this moment, reading throughout this week and preparing for the message today, in this moment of privilege, it sort of is reminding us that this is sort of our last bit of journey together. That us together will only be until July 1st, and you will welcome someone new. In preparing for this message, it was so surreal in this moment that we are entering our final weeks or time together, these final steps. And this moment, I think to myself, we have one final Easter to walk through together. This celebration that knows no other celebration together. And yet the reality is, a lot of us are frustrated. A lot of us feel the tension. And sometimes there's resentment and arguments. There's a lot of distractions right here in this place. And I'm finding it very difficult for us to prepare to celebrate this day of resurrection when there's so many things distracting us and things that are being unsaid. So, we're off the radio. We have been. So from this moment to me to you, as we approach our final few times together and steps and journey together, not to be the messianic figure, but whether you've laid down anything for my pathway and rejoiced in our time together, or whether you have not, our time together is still running very short. We will have one last Easter this week to celebrate, one last Holy Week journey to participate in together. As we sang here, it's my personal hope and peace as the pastor of Sandusky First United Methodist Church, of your pastor, if you have accepted that, to say if the reason why there's some strife or some arguments or you're distracted or you're feeling unsettled, if I am part of the reason of that stirring within your soul that you haven't been able to find hope and peace, I'm sorry. I can't change the past, but there is one final walk, a couple of weeks and a couple of months that we have together. And I would hope it wouldn't be one where there's a monument in my honor put up anywhere, but we would be able to remember as Christ arrived into Jerusalem to do what God had in store for him, and that was not to ride upon a horse, but to arrive on a donkey. Today, I would ask that you would help me ride a donkey into this final season that we have together, because it's not one that needs to be about war. It needs to be about a peace and a treaty. In a moment where the main thing has always been the work and the act of Christ. And I would ask if we come back in this place, if I am the reason, the cause for these things in your life or your distractions or your hurt, can we arrive together in a place where we're ready to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord this week? Because it's not about me. It's not about us or the things that we find wrong with each other. It's about Jesus, his resurrection and redemptive power. It will be about Jesus next week. It will be about Jesus throughout the month of April, throughout the month of May, throughout the month of June, and when Pastor Sue arrives in July, it will still not be about Pastor Sue or about you. It will be about the blood of Jesus and the work Jesus does in and through us. In these moments, before we finish the benediction, I needed you to know that because there is a peace that has been disrupted amongst our church, and I know a portion of that I am responsible for, or at least have been around in. And for that peace and that portion, I simply wanted to offer you that it's about Jesus. Can we arrive together on a young offspring of a donkey, the way Jesus modeled for us? Because the things sometimes that we feel, the things sometimes that we say, they're not the way we hope this world and community would see Jesus. And sometimes if they saw the Jesus that we show, they might not see the redemptive power of Jesus reflected. That's our hope and our peace for our daily lives in this week. And I would ask that we would go forward today in the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and our souls and spirits would raise and shout until we became hoarse and we couldn't say anything verbally. Save us now. Save us today. Jesus, with purpose, with intention, Hosanna in the highest. Save us today and save us now. Let us go in peace with this charge. Can we sing together freely, freely?
Thank you. Thank you.